Chapter 6 Spoiler Victoria by Daisy Goodwin. This novel was inspired by the diaries of Queen Victoria, which the author came across during her college years. This episode is especially for those of you who have watched the show and just can't get enough of it. So here we are with an amazing TV show and its novelization, where we explore the real as well as the fictional characters of Victoria, Albert, and Lord Melbourne. Let's talk about them. My name is Nesma. Turn the page. Welcome to another chapter of Between the Pages. I'm Nesma.
And Hanin.
I guess let's start with you, because I think you experienced the show in the right way.
Tell them how
it felt experiencing the show in the way it was supposed to be experienced.
Yes, okay. Actually, I was postponing watching the show for a long time, for 2 years, I think, and that's a very long time for like what I experienced. I was like, why didn't I experience this earlier? Until you told me you got the book for Victoria.
Yes.
And you were reading it then.
I had already watched the show, and then I figured out there's actually a novel to the show. So I was like, wait a minute, this is actually a thing. Like, when I searched the bookshop that we always get our books from, Cherry Blossom, she had a discount, and I was like just skimming through the books that she had, and then I saw the name Victoria on a novel. I was like, oh, that's cute. So there's a novel for Victoria. I didn't connect it back then that this was actually the book for the show.
Really?
No.
It's just
it didn't click back then. Like, I thought, oh, maybe someone else's perspective on Victoria. So I was like really interested. But then when I read the name of the author, I noticed that Daisy Goodwin, oh, isn't that the screenwriter for the show? And then I was like, maybe they're connected. So I bought the book, and then I was reading the cover, and it said it's part of the show from Masterpiece.
Yes, and so, that's when you recommended it for me.
Yes.
And you're the one who suggested that I read the book and then do the TV show. Though usually my style is like watch the thing first and then read the book. You told me because it's like one-to-one.
It's one-to-one. It's
like
basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the thing that we want to address in this podcast. So we want to tell people who have watched the show, we want to see throughout this podcast today whether it's worth it or not to read the book. Because the book, even though it's one-to-one, it has the same in everything. It's even the same dialogue because, duh, she's the screenwriter.
Screenwriter, yes.
So she stayed very, very, very loyal to the novel itself. So, but it's still different.
Yes. Like, the book is divided into four books, four episodes.
Four sections.
Yes.
Four sections.
Four
but
sections.
They're called books. I don't know why.
I don't know. Inside that one novel.
So during
the first section in
yes.
the book, I was like, I was texting you, when does this end? I want to start watching the show. I was so excited to watch this. So I actually, like, my initial plan was to read the whole novel and then go into the show. But then I couldn't wait.
Of course not.
But until, when Albert was going to come in, I decided I would finish, like, this two sections of the book and then watch the show.
Yeah. So I think intentionally for the, like, if you were going to do it the right way, if you're going to read the book and then watch the show, which I would suggest you do, because then you have the full experience, which like Hanin did. And I think then you can connect more with the characters, right?
Yes, because in the book, you know, what they're thinking, what they're feeling. I know this is conveyed through performance.
Of course.
But it might be
a little far-fetched. Like, when you watch I don't know, this is a little weird example, but when I watched The Hunger Games, okay, and when I read the book, it was completely different. Like, there were moments in the movie where I didn't know why they were doing what they were doing. Like, for example, why Katniss was saving Peter from the game. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand. Maybe I was too young back then, but let's not consider that. Yes. But I like, there are just some things that the book explains to you of why they're doing what they're doing.
You are in their shoes. You're doing their decisions and feeling their feelings while they're doing it.
Yes. The train of their thoughts is, mm-hmm. everything is there. Like, everything is explained.
Their reasoning, their everything.
Yes.
And I liked that. I liked after I've, like, known this character inside and out and watching her. I know her. This expression is because she's feeling scared or she's confused or she's, like, afraid to stand up, or how is she feeling? Is she small, like feeling small inside, or like is she finally small. coming?
Pun not intended. We know Victoria was said to be short.
Yes, that's why actually
you could relate to her
very much, like,
because you're short.
Yes,
just
I'm
because
short
the viewers can't see you. So I mean, yeah, the listeners,
yes,
can't see you.
I look very young, younger than my age, with at least 6 years, I think. And it's really hard when you're in your early 20s and people think you're an early teen. It gets me thinking: am I young? Am I? Do I
look too young? Should I look older? Or
how should I act now? Like, people expect me to act as a teenager and having this temperament and thoughts and dreams and hopes and even my attitude. And I think I fall into that because that's what people expect of me. Unlike Victoria, she didn't. I remember this quote she said: because I'm small, they think I'm a child.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'm ready for this. And
there was even one thing that she said, that she has to work twice as hard to prove herself.
Yes. Like, and I feel that every day.
Yeah. Aw.
It's okay.
You need a hug. Yes, so let's continue. Okay, so when I got the book, there was one thing that I found really interesting. It was written on the front cover, written by People magazine. They said, an irresistible love story. Fans of Downton, The Crown, etc. will want to dive right in. Now,
we watched Downton Abbey.
Yes, we did watch Downton Abbey.
It's our thing, Aslan, to watch things from different eras. And this, yeah, is an earlier era than the one in Downton Abbey. So it was interesting to see how the servants were different.
The same concept of Downton Abbey. Having this view of two different lifestyles.
Yes, like you have downstairs and the upstairs.
Exactly. And it was the same idea in Victoria, with the servants downstairs and the queen and her subjects upstairs. And yeah, it was very interesting to see the similarity, but with a completely different... You have like monarchy with,
yes,
the queen and, like, everything.
You're the servants of the queen at the palace.
Palace.
And not just a house in a town or...
Yeah, yeah. In an estate. I think they even had the town. Like, they were the owners of the town, right? They were like... Not owners.
They were running the town. Yes. The
So it's basically, yeah, the same concept, but with Victoria, it's on a bigger scale. Like, she's the queen of a whole country.
Yes. their work has more duty and,
yes,
like, it's like they're in the army or something. Mm-hmm. What I like about Victoria as a show and a novel and a character even is that they depicted her as a girl who's going into her place as a queen. There was this, like, a woman and a queen. There was this difference. And how it's so similar. Like, we can compare it to us now, us like growing up being the thing we're supposed to be, that we want to be. She wanted to be queen, so it's similar to us. Like, if you want, I want to be a film editor, for example. So me growing into that role, I know it's different.
It feels like destiny.
Yes, and it's taking up this responsibility, going out from girlhood to womanhood.
To womanhood, yes. Yeah, I can see
and
that.
And the fears you have with this
going forward, trying to be what you want to be, and
yes, despite what people think, despite what people expect of you, despite everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Victoria is basically the definition of becoming something that other people never thought she could be, you know?
Yes.
And she had to prove herself several times. And, okay, let's not make her such a beautiful figure. We know that she even made a lot of mistakes, okay? Mm-hmm. Because she was very, very, very young.
And she was trying very, very, very hard to prove herself. Like, at her time, women didn't get to be anything, like, as big basically. As queen. But they couldn't tell her, you can't be a queen because you're a woman, you know? She sort of imposed, it's her right. I mean,
of course, thank God they had the rule that women could be heirs to the mm-hmm. throne, because yes. back then they couldn't even
there be. Was the start of women being anything, you know.
Wasn't she the first woman?
No, there was Elizabeth.
There was before her.
Before her, there was Elizabeth.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
She even wanted to follow her example for a while.
Her mother even wanted her to be called Elizabeth.
Yes.
But she decided, even her real name is Alexandrina Victoria. And they wanted to name her Alexandrina, Queen Alexandrina.
Because it's a known name, like, exactly. It's not weird or anything.
Okay, but then, in defiance to that, she said, no, I want to be called Queen Victoria.
She didn't like the name Drina or Alexandrina.
Or
she still wanted to be her own self.
Exactly.
She wanted to create her identity. She didn't yes. want her identity. She didn't want anyone to tell her what
who
her identity.
Who she could be or who she should be.
Yes.
She wanted to be her own woman, her own self, be true to her own self, and think this is her time to shine. You know, like, this yeah. is my time. Don't tell me what to do. Like, basically, I literally have all the power here. Okay.
Yes.
But then we see what can go bad if you give a little girl so much power, you know? Mm-hmm. A little sassy girl who always wanted to do what she wanted to do, who has a temper. Who has a bit of a temper, who always imagined to be queen one day. So then when she finally has all that power in her hand, we can see how that can go really, really wrong. Like, we know sometimes she was advised to do a certain thing. She would do the opposite, which is basically throwing a tantrum. Mm-hmm. Basically, a child throwing a tantrum is like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want. You know, and this was basically what we see in Victoria. But then we see the perfect development from a child to a girl mm-hmm. and from a girl to a woman.
Yes.
And
yeah.
even in the show, we see the song that comes on, you know, when we see in the titles. The perfect portrayal of her hair and makeup and the crown that comes on top of her head. Like, we see first the image of a girl with her hair kind of like semi-down. Was her hair down? I can't remember.
Yes, the first image is her hair down.
The second one, her hair is up, but with no thing on her
no
head.
No tiara or crown.
And then the third picture is her face, more defined, more fine lines, more like sharp jawline, mm-hmm. like these kind of perfect defined things, and then a crown on her head.
She finally
become a woman and yes. the queen, and this is what we're expecting in the show. This is where we try to see her development, basically. And the whole show is just about her development as a character, from this tiny little girl
to a tiny little woman.
I didn't mean it like that, but sure, okay.
Something I had in the book that you didn't have in the show at the beginning is we had a prologue where she's just a little teenage girl.
We did have the prologue in the
yes,
novel.
Yes, in the novel, but not in the show. It was the first shock of how she's being dismissed and how they're the one who are running everything until the day she gets the news that her uncle died and she's the queen. Yes. Ever since the day we got to see that she was sick and they were so scared that that they don't get to rule the country through her. She heard that through her illness. And the day she has the country in her hands, she was scared ever since. She had this extreme fear of them dismissing her, even when she dismisses them and you're not going to tell me what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And it stayed for a while this way. She does not want anyone to tell her what to do.
Yeah.
Until even Albert showed up.
But then again, she needs someone to help her and tell her what to do because she doesn't know what to do. But
yes.
Then again, she doesn't want to ask for help because then she'd feel like she's not perfect for the job.
Yes, and she wants the right help. The help that would grow her, like
and
Lord
then,
M.
And then the perfect guy who swooped in to help her was Lord M, Lord Melbourne.
Yeah.
And this is this is exactly what I wanted to talk about in this novel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The perfect portrayal of Lord Melbourne in the novel, because in the show we see him more as an ice-cold man with these really harsh expressions on his face. And in the show, we even know he is showing us one thing, but he's feeling another. And we don't know what this other is.
Yes.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So in the novel, we get to know everything. Like, basically,
yes,
the reasons for his actions and what he truly feels towards her. I know this was more for dramatic effect and for the narration purpose, but it was never actually proven that there was a thing between Lord Melbourne and Victoria. They just
really? Wasn't it always said that he was her first love and Albert was her last?
That was gossip, you know? Huh. At the time, during that time, that was gossip. And it was never actually proven with actual evidence that it was Lord Melbourne who she fell in love with. Maybe in her diaries she indicated that he was the man who helped her with everything, and maybe from that they took the context of her having feelings for him. But then again, it was more,
I think she never talked about him in her diaries like she talked about Albert.
But we don't, of course not. Of course not. That's her husband, okay? That's something else. But I mean, I don't want to say Victoria had father issues, but maybe she had in a way. And finding the perfect guy who swept her off her feet, basically. Not in a loving kind of way.
You know your analogy of like her being a child into a girl into a woman? She had all these transitions with him,
Lord Melbourne.
With Lord M. She loved him as a father. She loved him as a companion or an advisor.
Yes.
And then she loved him. She thought she loved him as like
exactly,
a woman.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. So he was the perfect figure to help her through everything.
The perfect catalyst to make her into a woman,
a queen,
ready for ruling and marriage and everything.
Because he had the perfect thing to say in the perfect moments. He was basically an artist of words. He
mm-hmm.
knew
how
to charm her, how to calm her, how to make her brave, how to make her beautiful, how to make her feel confident. He could make all those things with just a couple of words because he knew what women wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically the flaw and his advantage.
Yes, because, and greatest advantage. Actually.
But it's also a flaw because then again, he only gave her what she wanted, you
mm-hmm.
know? And that's basically why she fell in love with him, you know?
Yes.
But he wasn't.
She's been denied all her life, and then there's
this
person
affection.
Who's giving her all this affection, all these things on a whim, like just if she thinks about them, it's there. And
like, I remember there were moments where she was thinking, and everything that she does was all just thinking about what would Lord Melbourne think?
Yes.
What would he say? How would he feel about this? It was all in the back of her mind. Like, she was literally obsessed with the guy. Like, every dress she wore, the hair she made, the shoes she wore, the way she held herself as a person. Everything was just to please Lord Melbourne, you know? And they kind of emphasized it in a way to make it interesting as a show and as a novel. But in real life, I'm sure it wasn't as intense as it was in.
But she is an intense person.
I can see how that can be portrayed as a story. Like, it's a perfect
Yes,
thing.
It's perfect for content.
It's perfect for content. But
yes.
In real life, I don't think that's what was actually going on, you know?
Probably.
I don't know. Maybe there were these impulsive visits to his house. Maybe there that was a thing. Maybe those actually happened, because I'm thinking those were a catalyst for these thoughts, mm-hmm. for this kind of gossip back yes. then. And then you realize, okay, maybe there was something. But then again, I don't know. But let's get back to the novel, because but I want to say...
The thing is, I would like her to have... To have him as her first love. There is always, if you look
at... No, of course, I totally agree with him yes. being the first love, but I'm saying that it's...
He made her grow into something. He made her ready for yes. Albert, you know?
Of course.
I don't know. I like the idea of first love. It's always there in novels. Like, there is... In Shatter Me, there is Adam and then Werner. And, yeah. I don't know, Hunger Games, there was Gail and then Peeta. There was...
Well, I get...
You get the idea, yes.
I was just referring to the idea of comparing history to actual...
To fiction.
Yes, to fiction. History to fiction. Yeah. Okay, what was one thing you didn't like about the book or the show? Both. Tell me both. There wasn't. With you, I know you completely loved this story.
Yes, I did.
I can see how it literally consumed you.
It did. It did consume me. I was going into my exams and I literally had to stop watching the show so I can study. I literally prevented myself from thinking about Prince Albert so I can get my head together. I don't know. No, I don't think I didn't like anything with this show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, because again, you did it the right way. You know, you experienced the book in the right way. You took it one by one. Like, mm-hmm. I think you read book one and then book two and then you watched the episodes. And that is how it's supposed to go, okay?
Yes.
I did the opposite. Like, I watched the show and then I found the book and then I read the book after the show. So it was kind of prolonged because every little detail is the same. Like, literally everything is the same. The way they speak, the way they talk, the way they walk, everything is the same. Like, but it's these little things that make it worth it, you know? And I want to speak to the listeners who are listening right now, and I want to tell you that I would read the book, even if you have watched the show, because it's a little something extra, you know?
Yes.
Even it's just something a little to enjoy. Maybe it will be a little bit boring at some point.
It would be interesting to know what Lord Melbourne is feeling and thinking.
Definitely, definitely.
What Albert is afraid of. What is he thinking when he's around Victoria? I think that was in there. How Victoria was scared and...
Yes.
She needed an anchor.
To help her get through this.
Luckily, she found one.
And, yeah.
For me, it was like... While watching the show after having read the events, it's not about the events. It's like I'm watching everything unroll in front of me and I know what they're thinking at the back. Like, this expression is because she's scared. It's not like she's, I don't know, like...
Yeah.
I know what exactly she's scared of. We know she's scared. We see her scared of, like, her mother's advisor.
This is exactly what I'm saying.
It's, but we know what exactly is she scared of. We have a backstory to this or a thought around this. Like when he hit his stick on the floor.
Yeah.
At the first episode, you will listen to me or something. It was something like that. She had memories about this stick. It scared her throughout her life. She knows how angry he is right now, but she stayed strong despite of her fear, despite her being very alone at the moment.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I was saying, you know, like the book just gives you reasons for their actions, basically. You mm-hmm. see the actions in the show, and then in the book they're explained why they do what they do.
Yes.
So basically, you have to read the book.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
The only thing that I would advise you to do, of course, any reader knows this, don't check the ending. Like, don't skip to the ending. Don't see where it stops, because that's also kind of makes the book a bit more delicious in mm-hmm. a way, because
yes.
even though you know what's going to happen, you don't really know where the book is going to end, okay?
Yes.
If you look at the book as a whole, it has the perfect ending, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know about the show, if you didn't watch the show, if you would read the book on its own, it's pretty interesting. Like, mm-hmm. to see the ending, it's more like a fairy tale ending.
Yes.
Like, I don't know.
And I mean, it's a royal story, so.
Of course. So that's basically it, you know? Even though it's one-to-one, basically everything, because the author is the screenwriter, and I guess that's one thing that's really...
I like to think about her process of doing this. I mean, she wrote the script as... Like, there is this description of the action, and it's factual. There is no literary...
Interpretation.
Yes.
This is how it happened.
This is how it happens. It's just the action described without any...
context.
Imaging.
It's more deep.
Yes.
It's deeper on a level.
It's deeper. Yeah.
Is that what you were looking for?
Mm-hmm. Like, the scripts are usually more factual. It's just the action. Some
like exterior, blah blah blah,
blah interior, blah blah, dawn, blah, blah, blah. light, Victoria's room, stuff like that. It's just, and then even the action, the description of the action is just Victoria stands up, but not. And yes, the Victoria stands up while she's infuriated, but we don't know what she's thinking and what she's doing and everything. We just know what she says.
Basically, yeah.
Basically, yes. And even the environment, it's not really described in detail in the script. It's usually built up. Like, the essential are there, the ones that tell
you
things about the character.
But you have the locations in the scenes. So I think that, again, helps you with the show. Like, when you see the palace and when you see the costumes and when you see everything, it helps you. It helps you to see it more easily in mm-hmm. the book. You know, the way Albert looks.
Yeah.
He has a very distinctive face. Not very usual for... But, oh my god, he makes the German accent very well.
Really? He does?
I don't
so
know.
So well. Like, how is
so
German?
So well. It's like, oh my god, it's to the point I can't even do it. I'm German and I can't even do that. Like, this is my accent. Like, I try to make the German English accent and I can't.
Wow.
It's not in me. Like, I try, but it's not possible. I don't have it. But it makes it even more attractive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think she took liberty with some scenes or shots from the script to the novel. Like, I think it was a little bit dry in the script, so she...
Probably. She beautified it.
She beautified it in the novel, like, especially the proposal scene.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
In the novel, it was something else, actually. Like, it was the same
dialogue, but the actions were different.
The actions were different, and they were more intense and emotional. I felt it more in the book, because I felt it first in the book, then in the novel.
I think the idea of reading a book and then watching the movie, for example, when you watch the movie of a novel, you always get disappointed. You know, there's always something that throws you off, that pisses you off, or that doesn't really, it doesn't meet your expectations. And that's what I'm trying to, like, as a reader, this is the perfect thing for you. Like, read the novel and then watch the show, and then you'll see that they're literally the same, and then the experience is even greater, you know? Like, it's not like watching a movie and then disappointed.
The phrase of "this didn't happen in the book" or "it didn't happen this way" will never cross your mind.
Never. The only sad thing about Victoria is that it does not cover the whole entire first season. That's the only downside.
Yes.
That's like the only thing that really like really bothered me, but it's...
And me.
Of course.
I want it more in the novel even. I know I'm going to see it in the show, but I wanted this highly satisfactory experience to keep on going throughout the seasons.
The seasons, yeah. Sadly, it doesn't even cover the first season, but it's really greatly written. The narration style and... staying loyal to the dialogue and everything, and even Jenna Coleman's the actress of Victoria, perfect portrayal. She is perfect for the character. Her everything, basically.
Yes.
her size, her face, her eyes, her hair, her everything is just amazing. Her
you know
performance.
You know, yes, you know those actors when we say they were born to do this
this role.
This role, yes.
Like Johnny Depp for
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, he was made for that role, literally. Yeah, but with Victoria, I think they did it really well. Even the actor playing Albert, Prince Albert, I think he did a really good job, even with the accent. Wow, I'm really impressed with the accent. Like, they nailed it. I don't know why I'm so impressed with the accent, but it's just, I admire it. Like, it's really hard to do, especially the German-English accent. Like, that's a very special...
I would take your word on it. I can't imitate any accent. It's like,
watch an interview. He's British.
Yeah, he is. Okay. I know. I watched many interviews.
Watch an interview. I mean, for the listeners. Watch an interview and see the episode and then just appreciate the beauty of his work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
But first, you would have to learn some Victorian vocabulary.
Like indisposed. We don't say sick, we say indisposed.
Or, and you look most becoming, ma'am. As in, you look beautiful.
Yeah.
There was...
When she tried to sit... No, that wasn't in the novel.
Yeah.
That was in the show when she said she was pregnant.
What did she say?
She said there's no proper English word for it.
And there is the word criminal conversation, as in people slept together without being married.
Criminal conversation? I don't remember that.
Really? It was in the first... it was in the first episode, but it was explained in the novel. Like, it was defined by, I think, her governess or
something
Lord
like
M,
that.
Actually.
Yeah, criminal conversation. There was even one thing they said when she had the accusation of her mother's, what's the job title? Her lady. Just
her lady in waiting.
Her lady in waiting. Mm-hmm. And when she accused her of sleeping with... who was friends with her mother.
Yes.
And she accused them of sleeping together. And that was even one thing that actually happened in real life with Victoria. That was her first scandal, the very first ever scandal that happened with her, which again refers back to the idea that
she did
a lot of mistakes, like so many mistakes. She jumped to conclusions and always thought she was right. You know?
Yeah.
And that was very big issue with Victoria. She's very stubborn.
There was this parallel narration in the novel and in the show, but I found it more exciting in the show. While Victoria was putting on her royal robes and like at the coronation, and they are exposing this lady in waiting.
Mm-hmm. In parallel to
Victoria putting on like... This one was
going up in society, and the other was being shamed and downsided. And
yes, it was so...
The contrast was very powerful. And, yeah, I guess it's obvious by now, we're very big fans of the book and the show. We're still waiting for season 4. I'm waiting for season 4. I don't know if you've watched season 3 yet.
Not yet.
Well, catch up, please.
Yes, of course. I'm just... No, actually, I'll wait till season 4 is out so I can watch.
Fine, do whatever you want. I don't care. I'm gonna be Victoria now. Do whatever you want. I'm my own woman. All right, I think... We can sign off in this episode now. We hope you enjoyed listening to the podcast. We had so much fun recording it.
Yes.
I hope you have watched the show or haven't. Gladly. If you haven't, then I'm happy for you. You can still have the chance to read the novel and then watch the show.
Yes.
If you don't, that's fine. The show is enough, I guess, if you don't want to read the book.
Yeah.
We like to be extra, so we did read the book. We do things extra. I mean, we read the novel maybe so you don't have to. So, yeah. And
see you next chapter.
Hopefully, next chapter.
Thank you for making it till the end of this chapter. Next chapter is Heartless by Marissa Mayer, where hearts get broken and not mended. For us, this was not a chapter of convenience, but inconvenience. We had no choice. My name is Hanin. Mark the page.